Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What? That was the big surprise of the first round last night. Hey, welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We gasped when the Atlanta Falcons took Michael Penix Jr. Perloff because they had just spent all this money on Kirk Cousins in free agency. They gave Kirk about $100 million guaranteed for 2 years and then also selected Penix with a top 10 pick. Make it make sense.
Well, the thinking is that they got a Patrick Mahomes-like future superstar. Penix, I think if there was no health questions, there would be no doubt he's a top 10 pick. We all saw him just completely ball out last year. I know you and many other people brought out he struggled against Michigan. Well, guess what? Everybody struggled against Michigan. Every single good, I mean, CJ Stroud didn't look good against Michigan. He's amazing in the NFL. And if you watch that game, basically the Washington O-line folded like a cheap deck of cards and Penix was, they were on top of him. He was amazing last year. He runs fast. He's got huge hands. He's supposed to be a great personality. So he is a very, he's a top 10 level quarterback. So let's start there. So if that's the case, if you think this guy is a star, you throw logic to the wind because I think every team in the league wish they had taken Patrick Mahomes at 10. So if you look back on him 5 years and he's a perennial all-pro, the process is not going to matter.
Okay. Here's my counter to that. Michael Penix is not a mystery, okay? This was a guy who's out there playing in the biggest possible college football games imaginable. I'm watching guys from Toledo getting taken in the first round. You're telling me no one in the Falcons thought, maybe Michael Penix is somebody we could be intrigued by, let alone one of the six quarterbacks who ended up going in this draft, of which the Falcons were in a good spot. You're picking eighth. You're going to get one of these QBs. Now, not the top three, it turns out, but you're going to get somebody. So whose idea was it to give Cousins all this money?
Well, they signed Cousins on March 11th, and then the first time we saw Michael Penix run was March 28th. Maybe they thought, I bet you.
You saw him run in the championship game. You saw him run in the college football playoff game against Texas. Like, we
no
saw
one,
him.
No
they didn't
one,
really run a ton, but you know what I mean.
No one knew those knees was going to run 4-5-2. Here's the thing. I think that they probably, I'll bet you, and I don't have truth serum, they thought maybe Penix would be there at the top of the second round. Maybe they, in their head, they're like, okay, we're going to sign Kirk Cousins, then we're going to get someone high up in the second round, Knicks or Penix. And then it became very clear on draft night that that was not happening, that everybody in the league was jumping up to get those guys.
Listen, if you are actually had to wait to watch Michael Penix run a 40 at his pro day, that to me is also flawed. Because anybody can put it together for the pro day. Do you really know that his knees are that much better because he could run 140 or maybe he did it twice, I don't know, but basically one day where he ran the 40, that we've seen guys gain weight, lose weight. Kenny Pickett was doing hand exercises to stretch out his fingers before his combine. Like, you know, you're basically getting ready for the big event and anyone can look great on prom night. But how do you look, you know, and what are you like every other day of the year is what people should be looking for in a top 10 pick. So that, if it's true, and the Falcons had to wait for Penix to run that 40 to really fall in love with him, that's flawed.
Well, no, I think they were in love with him. I think that during the draft process, it became clear he was going a lot higher than everyone realized. I think they probably thought, oh, man, we can get that guy later. If they had taken him with the top pick in the second round, would you have a problem with this?
Well, no, but here's the thing. It's just you have a top 10 pick,
yeah,
and you sign Kirk Cousins to this huge deal. We're obviously talking about the Falcons, their move last night. You don't think there's anyone else at 8 where you could would be better served to put that person on the team immediately to help you win a division title and try to get to the NFC Championship game at least? You know, that's my other part of this. That's the same thing I said when the Packers did this, when they took Jordan Love over when Aaron Rodgers was still on the team. Like, why are you putting the future ahead of the present when you're an all-in right now team? It's like you're trying to do both here. You're like, yeah, you're splitting the baby.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, is that a pro or a con for this move? You're saying you're citing Jordan Love.
It's a con.
Well, it's a pro. The Packers are going to have 35 years of elite quarterback play because they did that really gutsy move.
Oh, my God. 4 years later. I mean, they could have.
Yes. I mean, that's how it works. Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years and gave them, you know, 12 amazing years. Now Jordan Love's about to give him 12 amazing years. This is the ultimate blueprint. This is a success. This is what Atlanta wants.
When Rodgers did it, it was basically the black and white era that compared to what the NFL is now. And you could have possibly had another Super Bowl, not, okay, you've got your quarterback. The Packers could have found four quarterbacks of the future in the time that Jordan Love sat there.
You're saying that the number 26, actually it was a 30 pick. They traded from 30 to 20. That was going to make any difference in Aaron Rodgers' future there?
Listen, here's the thing. Why do we love the draft so much if we don't think that guys can contribute at times right away or can be more developmental? The draft wouldn't be as popular as it is if we didn't think these guys can contribute. And every team has an example of a rookie playing a big role for them. And so if I'm an all-in team like the Falcons, I just spent all this money for Kirk Cousins, why wouldn't I want to get someone with a top 10 pick who I think can contribute right away?
I understand your theory.
Yeah.
Of course that makes sense. But what if you're sitting there, you're number 8, Atlanta, and then the Raiders trade up to number 9. You love this guy, Michael Penix. I know you signed Kirk Cousins, but you love him. You're like, oh, man, I've done the evaluation. I've looked at tape. I know this guy is going to be a star. You're at number 8. You take a defensive pass rusher who may or may not contribute, may or may not be good, and then Penix goes 9 and is a 10-time Pro Bowler. You're telling me you're not going to be kicking yourself? Sometimes you do crazy things, and overdrafting quarterback is a smart strategy because this is a first round. You don't get shots at quarterbacks later. I mean, now it's changed, unfortunately, aside from Brock Purdy. It's just generally you got to take your shot at quarterback. You can find all these other guys later in the draft. There's almost any other position. Left tackle and quarterback are really valuable.
Let's go to the phones, 855-212-4227. Jaime is in Georgia. Jamie. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning. Good morning, you guys.
You're a big Falcons fan?
Yes, ma'am, I am. LaGrange, Georgia. Born and raised every year for 42 years. Falcon man.
LaGrange, stand up. So what do you think about the move last night?
I love it. I think that the Falcons made a great decision. We're putting our future ahead of us right now. We got Kirk Cousins. We did sign him, but he's coming off the Achilles heel, and we don't know if that injury is going to hold up, if that ankle is going to hold up.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a quarterback that we can plug in and play if Kirk goes down. We got a quarterback that has a big arm. He's precise with his accuracy on passing. He made good decisions, and he can run. So I'm thinking that the Falcons did excellent because if you look back a few years ago, we took a pass rusher. We took Vic Beasley, and then he gave us one good year.
Yep.
And then after that, you know how it ended. So I think with Raheem Morris being a defensive-minded coach, he can find other great pass rushers in the free agency coming up. He can get more people to come now, I think, to Atlanta. So
listen, Jamie, that's a good point, and thank you for the phone call and representing the Atlanta area here on what they might be thinking this morning and people being positive. That's a good point. Listen, you do have a defensive minded head coach, so you'd like to think that person is going to be able to make a lot out of whatever you have, and they have guys. You got Jesse Bates, you got AJ Terrell, you still have Grady Jarrett. I mean, you do have guys who are good on this defense, and you hope the coach really makes his impact there. So that's a good point.
It's funny, too. They seem snake-bitten at pass rusher. They've always wanted. I mean, was Jonathan Abram there? And, like, they've never really had consistent pass rushers. Think of Atlanta's great teams. That's just not who they are. But Zach Robinson's interesting. He's a Sean McVay acolyte, their offensive coordinator. Yep. If he sees something and Penix, that's another reason to be psyched about him. I think this is going to be great.
For the flip side, we go to Adrian in Maryland, who does not like the pick. Adrian, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Pulloff, why are you trying to justify this pick here?
Because I love Michael Penix.
You can love him all you want. He's not going to help the team. He's not helping the team for 3 to 4 years.
No, he'll definitely be on the field this year.
Kirk
Cousins is going to come out of his Achilles injury, and I'm sorry, whatever Aaron Rodgers says, it's just not true. Kirk Cousins has a huge injury risk this year.
If Penix is on the field, that means Atlanta is having a terrible season. I'm going to tell you that right now. If he's on the field, that means they're having a bad season. And you can tell in the war room, those guys didn't want this pick. They did not want this pick.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, Adrian. So you basically have to be a body language expert to figure out what's going on in the war room. Adrian mentioned it. And Adrian, appreciate you weighing in as always. Have a good weekend. It's Terry Fontenot, who's the general manager of the team. And it's Arthur Blank, who is the owner. Now, you're the writer here. If you were to describe the scene that we saw, the two of them talking, how would you describe it?
It seemed like the GM was trying to explain something that the owner was not quite grasping. So he had to really get his hands involved in what was going on.
Yes, it felt like a guy who was basically trying to explain something to save his life, to save his life or career. It was like, no, but you have to see, you know, this is what we're thinking and this is what we're thinking. Now, again, we're reading a video that has no audio to it. But if you were a body language expert, this looked like a guy who was fighting for his life to try to explain to the owner what just happened.
Right. Well, except that we know the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport said in the afternoon that it was Arthur Blank's pick. Which makes much more sense. The owner always goes quarterback, right? The owner's like, no,
sell tickets.
I don't want a pass rusher. I want Michael Penix. So this was, I think, very obviously Arthur Blank's decision, which is never a good thing, by the way. But it might work out anyway.
Here is the GM of the Falcons. His name is Terry Fontenot. He says the team could not pass up on Penix talent.
Being able to add Michael Penix Jr., when you can add a high caliber player like that with his intangibles, those tools, he's a winner. Very, very excited. You don't pass up that opportunity.
Okay, he also went on to say that Kirk is the current Falcons quarterback, so Cousins has the job. I hope so. What does $100 million buy you these days? But Penix is the future.
Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk, very excited about this team. And Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future. The draft is, you look at the future and you look at big picture, but we are very excited about that quarterback room. And again, Kirk is our quarterback.
I'll tell you, you know, if you were really cynical about this whole thing, you would look at the offseason that the Falcons had, right, where Belichick is meeting with Arthur Blank multiple times. Belichick told people he thought he had this job. He thought he had it wrapped up, thought that the meetings were going well, and that other people in the front office, whether this is true or not, actively did not want Belichick in the building because they were afraid that he was going to essentially clean house, right? That he was going to deem them all irrelevant because he wanted to put his sort of stamp on the team.
Right.
This front office did the ultimate job-saving move. Two of them. Let me spend your money, Arthur Blank, to get you a quarterback right now who's at the top of the free agent market, and also let me get the guy for the future. It's brilliant if you're just trying to save your job. So there you go. 855-212-4227. Checkers. I mean, 3D chess, not checkers.
I wonder if Belichick was the coach, would Penix be the pick? Because if Arthur Blank is the one calling the shots and Belichick wanted to go there, would he have co-signed on this?
Well, remember, Belichick was going to be more collaborative.
Right.
We'll see if that actually would have been true.
I feel like Belichick would have, I don't know, tackled Arthur Blank before that card would have went to the NFL. I don't know. I cannot imagine him knowing value. We saw how harshly he grades quarterbacks, and Penix is a very good quarterback, so he may think Penix is fine. But signing a guy coming off an Achilles to $100 million and drafting a quarterback, I feel like Bill
Belichick wouldn't have made either of these moves.
I feel like he'd rather, I don't know, sing Taylor Swift in front of, you know, Mercedes-Benz Stadium than do that.
I think you're right. I mean, I don't think if he was the Patriots head coach, they were taking Drake May at 3. And I don't think if he was the Falcons head coach, they were going to be taking Michael Penix Jr. at 8.
Well, I think that's probably why people didn't want to hire Belichick, right? I think you're right, because he did such a bad job really, with the Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, whatever situation. Sure. Like, you probably don't want him in the room for your quarterback selection, I would think. Even watching last night, I'm like, ooh, I'm not sure, like, he's where the league is right now.
Well, here's the question. Who would you rather have influencing your pick, Bill Belichick or the owners? Because we know Jonathan Kraft, the son of Robert Kraft, was involved, we know, in the Patriots pick. And obviously Arthur Blank is very involved with the Falcons.
But the reality is, I mean, how many teams would have picked Drake May at number three? Probably
a lot.
Probably all of them. So, even Belichick might.
I think Belichick would have taken the bait, though. I think he would have traded back for the Hall.
Maybe, but there would have been a lot of pressure. And I think how many Penix was lasting? What, one or two more picks? So it's not like these guys were way off market.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
Belichick too. You're right. Belichick probably would have traded down. But honestly, like, you saw the Patriots' offense last year. Like, you can't let Bill Belichick decide who's going to be on your offense. That's one of the reasons he didn't get hired. They were awful last year.
So there was some rumors about how the Patriots were planning to get really good on offense really fast. We'll get to that rumor. Did not come true yet. We'll see if there's any legs for it on day two. Also, more for you on the 49ers. Adam Schefter up early and talking about the 49ers and get a little behind the scenes of what was going on in the 49ers war room last night. So we'll bring that to you as well. Today is about you. We're spread all over the country here, so we want to hear how you feel about your team's first-round pick. 32 teams, 32 fan bases. We're going to try to hit everybody, but we want to hear from you. It's about you today. Open phones, 855-212-4227. Don't move.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. A lot of quarterbacks, a lot of wide receivers, a lot of exciting picks. But the most popular team, once again, kind of boring on draft night, Maggie. When are we going to get some all-in action out of Dallas?
Let's hit it. It's like they keep telling us what they're going to do without telling us, you know? Dallas Cowboys, as predictable as ever. You think they're going to get weird and wacky? No, they're going to take Tyler Guyton. He's an offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. They always do this. You can't get mad at it. I've been critical of the Cowboys of 100 different things. I will never criticize a team, especially one who's got the track record of drafting incredible offensive linemen like they have. I can't argue with it. Do they need a receiver? Definitely. They'll get one later. This, I cannot argue with the Cowboys.
Yeah, so they got Tyler Guyton following 2 years ago, Tyler Smith.
Yes.
Following 10 years ago, Tyron Smith.
Right.
So linemen that start with T.Y. And they also got a defensive end named Tyrone at some point. I was looking at this last night. Isn't it bizarre that there's two Tyler? Anyway, it always seems to work. They have had a lot of success. Remember when they took Zach Martin over Johnny Manziel? They took Travis Frederick in the first round. There, you cannot argue with this logic. They are, ironically, a very smart drafting team. They just say silly things.
That's your cowboy quickie. Staying true to the word today, it is just a quick one here with the Cowboys. They had a press conference for like an hour last week, and they talked about offensive linemen for like 30 minutes out of that hour. Then Jerry said some ridiculous stuff about how they're all in on free agency. Okay, sure. And that got the headlines. But they talked forever about offensive line. They love it. Levi is in Arkansas. How's it going?
Oh, hey, it's pretty good. Pretty good. Not bad. I like the Cowboys pick. I get it. If you want to protect your assets. But didn't we lose all of our games because we couldn't stop the run? So
fair point.
So who would you guys go after? If we were going to get a defensive person, who would you have picked instead of this offensive line?
Okay, so let's think about for the Cowboys, who was still on the board at that point. There were no more defensive players who were taken after Darius Robinson out of Missouri for the Cardinals at 27. Thank you for the phone call very much and weighing in.
I'll tell you who. Well, there was a couple guys.
Yeah.
So Johnny Newton from Illinois, who's awesome, a defensive tackle. I'm not sure he exactly fits. I have no idea about the line fit. So he didn't go in the first round, and he's awesome. Also, right in their backyard, Edgerrin Cooper, who's amazing. They're Texas A&M linebacker. So those are two guys. By the way, I was actually thinking they should trade up to get Edgerrin Cooper. But I don't know. You could get that position, run stuffers, and linebackers, interior linebackers. someone to replace Van Der Esch. You could get that in second, third round. So I'm not killing them at all for that. That's not a position where you need to use high first round picks.
Well, the other part is you brought in Mike Zimmer. So he is a guy who loves using linebackers for this specific reason. You have to think he's got somebody in mind who he likes. And you also have to think just his commitment to that is just a little bit different than Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn's a great defensive coordinator, but that just wasn't, that's not his style.
Also, the Cowboys could definitely take a receiver in the second round.
They need one. They should. They need a receiver. You got to get CeeDee Lamb some help.
This is a superstar class of second round receivers. You should be excited as a Bills fan. There's probably eight guys who are going to be 1,000-yard receivers. That's what this draft is. It's going to be awesome.
Let's hit Dustin. He's in Tennessee. Good morning, Dustin. What's up?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for the call. I just wanted to touch on the Penix pick earlier.
Yeah, stunning.
And how Cousins has 4 years on his contract, and assuming that he goes the 4 years, then you're going to have Penix, who's going to be closing in on 30 before he can touch the field unless an injury. That's what was questionable to me. And then in reference to my Tennessee Titans, did I want a flashier pick at 7? Yes, but I'm finally glad that the GM and the team drafted a position of need first versus a flashy player.
Oh, so Dustin, you guys got a stud.
That's a move forward.
You guys got a stud. You know, you did some things in free agency. You know, you brought in Calvin Ridley. Dustin, thanks so much for the call. J.C. Latham out of Alabama. This dude, that's a good pick.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like it?
Well, yes. How many times was Jalen Milroe under pressure in like half a second? I think that was more their left tackle. But yeah, obviously, but the Titans, what do you mean did do a flash? What have they done flashy picks? Who are these flashy picks they're talking about? The Titans are always kind of boring.
I guess Derrick Henry years ago was
second round pick, yeah. I mean, I know they took Treylon Burks in the first round, but they are the opposite. Like, what's the pick that everyone's like, oh, wow, we got Jarrell Casey. I mean, I don't know what the flashy picks are for the Titans. This is the most boring. Everyone had them taking a left tackle, and they took a right tackle, but and this was the most boring night of any fan base.
I'm telling you, you will have 100% approval rating till the end of time if you're a general manager who only takes offensive linemen in the first round. Everyone will love you. You cannot poke holes in that. Maybe pass rushers too.
That is a team that's very hard to be excited about. I don't see anyone's like, ooh, I cannot wait to see the Titans unfurl this attack next year.
Unfurl is always a funny word. Let's just also clear this up just for a moment. So Dustin said Kirk Cousins, 4 years. Now, he is technically right about that. This was a four-year contract. What I'm seeing on Spotrac, which is a website a lot of us use, it's a potential out after 2026, but I believe the guaranteed money is really only through the first 2 years. So if I've confused the crap out of everybody enough, this feels like it's actually a four-year deal that's really a two-year deal.
Essentially, it's like the Daniel Jones deal, but way more money.
Well, a lot more money on top. And everyone loved the Daniel Jones deal.
Right.
By the way, I just want to point out, this is the third tackle Tennessee's taking in the first round this decade alone. So there are no sexy picks. This is tackle, tackle, tackle. And I'm sorry it's not working. Anyway.
Let's go to Jim's in Seattle. Good morning, Jim.
Yeah, great show. You guys are spot on. I'm in love with the Penix pick. I watched him for 2 years in Washington. The guy's a winner. He turned around a UW team, and it was second in the Heisman voting. But take a look at his stats. The guy's a baller. I was curious, and you touched on it. Cousins has got a four-year contract, but if he plays well, can you get out of that? Can you trade him for value in the future if Penix is as good as they have when he's on the field?
So,
and then I love what Seattle did. Sorry, on the defensive side, we brought McDonald in. We got a fresh start. The only pick I got to give credit to Tennessee is they did draft A.J. Brown, and then they parlayed that. They shouldn't have gotten rid of him, but they did. But that's one pick above the O-lineman. But then we'll take your comments off air. Or just I love the Penix pick. I think it's a great one.
Well, Jim, and you had a front row seat for it. And, you know, when Perloff is saying, oh, the Falcons fell in love with Penix, like, through the draft process, you know, he wasn't a surprise, you know. He was out there. Guys like Jim are watching him every day. We all got to see him in these big high-profile games. But, again, if he ends up working out, the Kirk Cousins part of this will be a footnote. Now, it'll be an expensive footnote. Because if you did, say Kirk gets hurt this year, the Achilles rehab doesn't go well, and Penix finds himself on the field and he's killing it, and you can't go back to Kirk. If you trade him pre-June 1 before the 2025 season next year, it's a $37.5 million dead cap hit. that's not nothing, especially if you're trying to win now. Right. So there will be a penalty here if they, you know, for a bad decision or for a flawed thinking or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you could, one financial argument, you have Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles, you have to spend a backup quarterback. You have to pay $8 million for a Joe Flacco or something like that. This is a cheaper option to have. Even Penix is going to be one of the lower paid backup quarterbacks. He's making $5 million, I think, next year or something like that.
Well, you get a lot up front when you're a top 10 pick.
Right.
But yeah.
Basically, he's very, very reasonable for a position that they desperately need. I mean, it's either that. I saw Jacoby Brissett cost 1 year $8 million. Like, did they want to do that? But you can't just have Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles. I mean, it's definitely a risky thing. And you know, the Jets are going to have the same problem. Like, you want to get really excited about Aaron Rodgers, but we have no history of guys coming back this fast successfully off of Achilles.
Just quickly also, the Seattle pick, which was Byron Murphy out of Texas, which was universally given two thumbs way up. Everyone loves Byron Murphy.
That's the guy who was high on mock draft and fell below where they were in mock draft, so let's give him an A. Meaning we have no idea. I mean, like, you actually said this too. Like, everybody thinks, oh, well, that guy was in the first round of mock drafts. Therefore, he fell the second round. He must be good. And it absolutely never, ever works out that way.
855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. We'll get back to you in just a moment. Andrew Bogish is here with more headlines. What else is going on today?
Well, let's go back to those Falcons, because I don't remember how this came up a few months ago, but I couldn't name their GM, didn't even know what he looked like. But now I'll always remember Terry Fontenot as the guy that tampered with Kirk Cousins, then guaranteed him $90 million, then used last night's eighth pick on Michael Penix.
When you can add a high caliber player like that, with his intangibles, those tools. He's a winner. Very, very excited. You don't pass up that opportunity.
But again, we don't even know if he believes that, because maybe this is coming from Arthur Blank, coupled with Perloff and that last caller, maybe the only three people on the planet who understand what the Falcons were doing last night. Either way, it was easily the biggest surprise of night one of the draft. Penix, one of the record-tying six QBs taken in the first round. Caleb Williams was the first. Bo Nix was the last to the Broncos at number 12. The round also included seven wide receivers. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals, Malik Nabers to the Giants, Roma Dunze joining Caleb Williams in Chicago. But none of those seven went to the Chargers, despite their offseason departures of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Jim Harbaugh about to say a bunch of names.
Let's not bet against Quentin Johnson, Josh Palmer, and Dee and Simi, and there'll be more.
I know 2.5 of those guys. At number
Wait,
five.
That's not Dee Westbrook. Is that who it is?
Dee and Simi is where I check out. I've heard of Josh Palmer. I've heard of Quentin Johnson from last year's first rounds.
It's definitely not Dee Westbrook. That was a long time ago. Okay.
But I got nothing after that. Instead of a wide receiver at number five, the Chargers went with Notre Dame tackle Joe Alt.
You're going to say, like, you know, what about a weapon? What about offensive linemen? We look at as weapons. That group, when we talk about attacking, and we talk about attacking on offense, offensive line is the tip of the spear.
Are they ever going to throw a pass? Is this the plan? Like, you get Justin Herbert and you come in and they're going to do 32 straight handoffs like they're playing Penn State on the road? By the way, Dee Darius Davis.
Wait, I have to look up. When
it's
did,
a fourth round pick out of 2020.
If you say so.
Leave him.
I'll take your word for it.
Oh, Dee Westbrook's only 30. Remember that guy? Wasn't he? He was a first round pick out of Oklahoma, wasn't he?
I think it was a Jaguar.
Yeah, he was.
Is he available?
Sorry, out of the fourth round.
Oh, wait a minute, yeah, guys. Speaking of the Jags, I'm so sorry to interrupt. Can I take a quick left turn here, because we have so many wrestling fans on the show, including EJ and Pete Pilati and all of us now? Did you see Tony Khan?
Oh yeah,
the son of Shad Khan, been a guest on this show. Love Tony, friend. Dare I say? Personal acquaintance. I do love Tony Khan. He was wearing a neck brace in the war room, but he's not actually hurt. It's like part of the storyline.
A lot of people were like, who is that guy?
Nah, he's the big winner from last night. That was awesome.
Stay in character and commit. I mean, owns the wrestling outfit.
Did anyone not love that move? I've seen nobody who's like, that's awesome.
Well, I'll raise my hand.
You didn't like it? Oh, that's so funny.
So this guy wore a neck brace to the NFL draft to keep up the bit from his wrestling injury.
Every time we have Tony Khan on, we want to ask a Jaguars question, and he gets it back to wrestling. And the Jaguars are drafted.
Why haven't we had Tony on in a while?
For the ninth year in a row, they drafted a receiver. Like, this is going to make any difference? Who cares about the Jaguars? We got.
Well, then why don't the Steelers at one point, why weren't they pouring ketchup throughout their draft room? Why isn't Bob Kraft printing out 8,000 pieces of paper in the Patriots draft room?
He's selling an injury as part of the storyline.
He's selling a wrestling injury at the NFL draft. There's nothing sacred.
It didn't offend anybody but you, all right? Relax.
You want to know when the sanctity, thank you, of the NFL draft went out the window is when everyone was at home during the pandemic, and they panned to Mike Vrabel's house, and someone was on the toilet with the door open.
They didn't do it on purpose because they were big toilet families.
You don't think that was on purpose? That person, whoever that person was on the toilet, was trying to definitely become part of the story.
Right, the last thing the NFL preaches is class.
Remember Bill Belichick had his dog out in front of the laptop?
That was funny.
That was funny.
Or oversell it. Like, come out with a cane.
and maybe some
service dog with you. Like, really sell that you've been, like, maimed by
just
whatever wrestler
stains
did this.
On your shirt.
I would have looked like I was in traction if I did it.
Wheel you in a hospital gurney.
An iron lung like Big Lebowski.
But here's
to be honest, yeah, go ahead, Pete.
Here's the one thing he messes up on.
There's one?
Yeah, he's selling the injury. Have some type of AEW paraphernalia or something that promotes it. That everyone's talking about it, but they never mentioned AEW. If that's the way to get over AEW, you should be able to promote it.
I feel like his dad probably held the line there.
Are we supposed to, like, flash all of a sudden, like, a website where you could start buying merch?
Wear the shirt?
Yeah, I think Goodell might have had an issue
What I want to see is next time they go to the Jaguars, because now we're getting to day two and day three, especially day three, when they go back to that Jaguars war room, have the Young Bucks come in and beat the crap out of Nick Khan. Tony Khan, of course.
Nick's in the AEW. WWE.
Yeah, let the Young Bucks continue their attacks on Tony Khan and, like, continue this bit of, like, what's going on in the Jaguars forward. This would be the greatest bit in the history of the NFL draft.
All of a sudden, there's a ladder set up in the back, and two guys are trying to get to the top of it, get hit over the head with a chair.
Yeah,
Jim Ross
send
is
through
actually
a table.
There.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah.
Have Taz announce the pick.
It beats all the C-list actors that come out during the second and third day of the draft to give the fourth round pick.
David Akers coming out being like, yeah, Cowboys, you guys suck. Go Eagles. Here's our pick. We don't need all that.
Hey, right, Bogus, so, where did you say, what would Kraft promote? I didn't hear what you said.
Paper.
Oh, paper. Oh, yeah. I thought you thought. Yeah, those are actual serious franchises. That's the difference with the Jaguars.
Thank you for making my point.
If you're on the verge of a Super Bowl, you're not promoting AEW. We can all admit that. I loved it, but I was like, oh, man. The Jaguars took Brian Thomas. I'm like, I mean, how many resources are you going to throw at Trevor Lawrence? And it's not going to work.
I was bummed. I wanted the Bills to take him. But this was Tony Khan, who's the son of Shad Khan, the owner of the Jags. They flashed in the war room last night, and he's wearing a neck brace. Like, he just got rear-ended, but it's a storyline. It's a bit for AEW, the wrestling outfit that they own.
Kraft could also promote Orchids of Asia as well.
Easy, Pete.
I was going to say, I mean, Woody Johnson should be giving Aaron Rodgers a vaccine in the Jets war room next time they go to New York.
I don't know if that's going to work.
Wait, what? The politics of that statement are so convoluted, knowing where Woody Johnson
is. Why is convoluted? This guy's on the team.
Also, meanwhile, Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show last night. Yeah. He popped in for a second after the Jets took the offensive lineman from Penn State, and they said, man, I hope you're not going on any more podcasts. And he's like, nope, I've got a couple more planned.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Buckle your seatbelts, everybody.
Just throw a damn touchdown. Let's go. Enough of this garbage.
Now, we've got a couple of vaccine conspiracy theories to get through first, Pete. Hold tight.
Okay, all right. Well, let's just play the game. Come on, let's go.
Let's just play the game from the guy who just said it's okay that the number two dude at an NFL team was doing a wrestling bit at the draft.
That's the first time.
Pick a lane, Velotti.
That's the first time.
Come on.
That's the first time.
Listen.
That's the first time he did it. We've been talking about Rodgers since about a year doing stuff that's
not on
the field.
Take the neck brace off and make a good pick is the same thing as shut up and throw a touchdown pass.
All right. Well, they have other problems, too, the Jaguars.
Listen, people are flawed. We're all walking contradictions is what I'm trying to say.
By the way, definitely not surprised that organization got ripped off for $1 million, right? Got guys in neck braces that did in the draft war room.
One of their top executives was bilking them for over $20 million to spend on private jets and FanDuel account.
What's different with this organization and every other organization? How did this guy rip off the Jaguars?
Yeah, they're playing 2K and swimming in their pool in the end zone, not checking the computer system.
If you could rip off any, if there was any franchise where I'm like, where could I get hired here and bilk them for millions of dollars? The one and only answer is the Browns. They have no idea what's going on with the money.
Jets, I feel like. Jets would also.
No, I love the idea of this dude in Jackson like walking past the office going, should I steal something? And there's everyone's in there doing suplexes and all these wrestling things. Like, you know what? I'm going to steal things. But no one knows anything what's going on.
I love that the Jaguars want FanDuel to pay for it.
Yeah.
That's the thing that boggles my mind with the whole thing.
Oh, you know, I don't think you were here that day, Bilotti.
Yeah.
We talked about that, and Perloff might be right. They might be on the hook for it. We went all through it.
Well, they're lucky.
Come on.
They're
you tell lucky. Me FanDuel gets $20 million from a mid-level manager, they don't stop to ask a question or two?
They're lucky. They're lucky.
Back to headlines.
Joel Embiid scored 50 points. His Sixers outscored the Knicks 125-114 in Philly to avoid an 0-3 hole. He also picked up a flagrant foul for grabbing the leg of a jumping Mitchell Robinson.
It was unfortunate. I mean, I didn't mean to hurt anybody.
Shut
I
up.
Just, you know, in those situations, I gotta protect myself because I've been in way too many situations where, you know, I'm always a recipient of, you know, bad, you know, the bad end of it.
But again, the problem with that theory is he created the situation that he was trying to protect himself from, which was somebody falling on his leg, which is how he got hurt earlier this year. But he's safe until he makes Mitchell Robinson fall on him.
He's laying on the floor.
He should have been ejected.
Hey, I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yep. Absolutely. There's no even thought. Of course he should have been ejected.
I was watching the Seahawks pick at that point.
I don't know
what play you guys are referring to. So Joel Embiid would trip somebody? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Let's just say the ejection, you eject him from that in that sequence. What happens after that?
They lose.
It's pretty obvious.
They get rolled.
I mean, he was awesome. He scored 50 points on 19 shots.
Again, very helpful when you take out the guy that's been tasked to guard you for most of the game in the first half. And then you score 34 points after he leaves. I wonder why that happened.
Yeah, it was bad.
Or like compared to the last 4 minutes where the Knicks went into Legion of Boom defensive back mode and the officials aren't going to call anything. So
sorry,
everybody
Perloff. This is not your day.
Are you watching it again?
Yeah, I watched.
No, right, you turned it back on.
You're looking at Xavier Worthy highlights. You don't know what happened in this game. Relax.
The officials are so out of control with these non-calls. That's why Joel did it. He's like,
Joel
they probably won't even call
shot
this.
21 free throws.
All right, somebody Run help BJ.
21 free throws. I'm not hearing it about the refs and the Knicks fouling them.
I'm saying the whole game is garbage. They could take this series and bury it at the bottom of the ocean. It is the most unaesthetically pleasing series I've ever seen.
Today we are only ranting about NFL stuff. We've got to save the basketball for another day. Bogish, what else you got?
The Nuggets can almost see round two, taking a 3-0 lead on the Lakers with a 112-105 win in L.A. Nikola Jokic, 24 points, 15 boards, 9 assists. And the Magic hammer the Cavs in their game 3 in Orlando, 121-83, now down 2-1 in that series. Pete's Islanders can't win at home either, down 3-0 to the Hurricanes after last night's 3-2 final. The Panthers taking a 3-0 lead with a 5-3 win in Tampa Bay.
I love the Isles, but they're losers.
Mom, Dad, back to you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. We've got so much to do. What a fun day this has been. Coming up, a team passed on a quarterback, and did they make a mistake? We'll do that next. We see you guys on the phones, too. Today is about you. How do you feel about what your team did in round one? 855-212-42.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
27. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about how your team did last night in the first round of the draft. Clearly, the Falcons are the team that has stolen the headlines. They shocked everybody. They took Michael Penix Jr. at 8, even though they have Kirk Cousins already on the hook for 2 years and $100 million. It was a unique move. They are really shoring up the quarterback position. Let's head to Rochester, New York. Pease is there. Good morning, Pease. How are you? Pease.
Hello.
What's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going today?
We're doing great. What's your thoughts on last night in the first round?
First round. So last night, Bills trade to who else but the Kansas City Chiefs. I think all my fellow mafia are thinking, you know, how can they keep getting away with this? I slept on it, woke up this morning, and now I'm thinking, okay, DeJean is still there. I think we got to take DeJean tonight. And then you never know what Brandon Bean's got up his sleeve. So I really think, you know, drafting a receiver, it doesn't always work out. I really like T. Higgins, and if we could stick it to the Bengals, that'd just be even more sweeter.
Well, Pease, I'm with you on being upset about what the Bills did last night as a fellow member of the Bills Mafia, because I don't really care who's left on the board. I don't care, actually, even if the Bills had traded out of the pick. That's not it. You cannot hand Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes another weapon. You cannot. Not for a team that has ended your postseason as many times as the Kansas City Chiefs have ended the Bills postseason. And when Xavier Worthy is streaking across the end zone and throwing up a peace sign like Tyreek Hill did all those years ago, it's going to sting even more. And I hate to be negative like that, Perloff, but I hate it.
I thought you were more analytical. I thought you thought, you know, in modern football terms, I thought you liked Moneyball. This is just such a fan take and not a really analytical take.
I am a fan. I'm not apologizing for that.
If I'm telling you right now, if the Cowboys called the Eagles and said, give us the house for Micah Parsons, I would do it in 2 seconds. Like, who cares what team they're
yeah,
on?
Yeah, you get Rivals the better are, end of that.
Right, I know. By the way, Micah, again, talking about how awesome the Eagles were last night on his little Bleacher Report thing. I just think it doesn't matter. You guys got to think about your team individually in a vacuum. It does not matter. And besides, what are we talking? They went from 32 to 28. Who honestly cares? Is this going to have any impact?
Clearly, the Jags wanted to trade up too. The Panthers, because they did that with the Bills also. So trade with the Panthers. Who cares about the Panthers? They're going to suck for a long time. They're in a different conference. You have to trade with the Chiefs?
Oh, I see. That's actually a pretty good point.
Thank you. I don't care if I sound like a fan today. I'm allowed to sound like a fan, and I absolutely hated that move. Let's get to Brett. He's in Arizona. He liked what his team did last night. Hey, Brett.
Hey, how you going, Maggie and Perloff?
We're doing great, man. What's really on your mind?
Really excited about the direction of my Cardinals. I like what they did in free agency, shoring up the defensive line, and now they get Darius Robinson with that 27th pick, and, of course, Marvin Harrison, you know. I like to see how that works out. I was kind of rooting for Malik Nabers, but we'll see what happens with those two later on and at the end of the year. But pretty excited. I heard someone from Arizona calling about the Raiders, so I had to call from Arizona about my Arizona Cardinals.
I love it.
Throw it in there.
I think it's great. You should be excited. Yeah. You know, I think that we figured out, and thank you for the call, I think you figured out that you know, Jonathan Gannon isn't a total disaster as a head coach, because there were questions for sure. And if Kyler is healthy and on his P's and Q's, he can get the ball to Marvin Harrison. I mean, that could have the potential to be awesome. The question is the offensive line. That's where I'm a little concerned about the Arizona Cardinals. But
they like the kid they got last year.
They got
right?
Jonah Williams also. They signed him in free agency from Cincinnati.
I would say they are bottom five chances of ever doing anything in the end. I mean, where is this Cardinals? How are they possibly going to take the next step? Is there any chance against San Francisco in that division? And the Rams seem to be back on an upswing. I don't see the hope. I like the Cardinals, but they have to be, they're like the fourth lowest team in NFL odds. It feels tough. I feel a little bad for Marvin.
Oh, come on. Maserati Marv, he'll turn around anything. They called him the next Larry Fitzgerald. I'm like, who are you going to compare him to? His dad or Larry Fitzgerald? We got to pick one.
That's a great analogy. Like, because Larry lost most seasons because
the team made it to a Super Bowl.
I think this is a tough. I honestly, I'll tell you right now, I keep saying this. I think the second round receivers are going to outproduce the first rounds just because those are flawed spots. Arizona is not where you want to go.
Malik Nabers also lands with the New York Giants.
Oh, God, and, that's even worse.
Well, this was, you know, a very split, I know, with the Giants fan base. I know a lot of people wanted them to take a quarterback because Daniel Jones is not good and injury prone. But they do need an exciting wide receiver, something they haven't had since Odell Beckham. So what they do, they take another receiver from LSU. Listen, I'm not a huge McCarthy fan, but I would have gone quarterback here. I love Nabers, but I do not trust Daniel Jones. And with Drew Lock behind him and Tommy Cutlets, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, here's the question. Who's throwing to Nabers next year? Who's coaching Nabers next year? So I think long-term that might be a good move. But again, like, he's no way he's going to win Rookie of the Year with Daniel Jones throwing to him. It seems impossible.
It does, but again, he's going to get a ton of targets. Because you're splitting them with Jalen Hyatt, basically, and that's kind of it.
I mean, how many are they going to be in the bottom five for pass attempts? I mean, Daniel Jones.
You always are with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he threw 15 touchdowns in his big contract year. I think these guys have landed in the wrong spot. And Rome Odunze, who's the next pick, he's got to share with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. It's going to be tough.
See you guys on the phones. We want to hear from you today. It's about you. It's about what your team did in the first round of the draft. 855-212-4227. We also get the thoughts of former general manager Michael Lombardi, set to join us next. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.